Have a seat. Have a seat. Thank you. Have a seat. Have a seat. And testing. Am I on? Everybody hear me okay? Man, I'm excited about being here. And I'll tell you, it's good to see new people in the house of God. And I met a new friend down here. The only problem with her is she is friends with Hannah and Brian. So just pray for her. And I forgot your name. Ashley? Did I get it right? Ashley? And it was either Amanda, Angela, or Ashley. So it was one of them. But I'm excited to be here. And I'm going to get right into it. It is 20 minutes to 8 right now. And we have enjoyed singing. My goodness. Let me tell you something. If you don't enjoy that kind of singing right there, something wrong with you. Amen. I have a Bose headset a sports Bose headset, and I've already worn out one headset that one of our gentlemen gave me. He said, "Pastor, you love listening to your music loud, and you like it to where people on either side of you can hear the music." But let me tell you something. If I'm going to, when I was a bad boy, I used to listen to my semi-bad music, and I wanted it loud. But that's when the pleather headsets, right? Come on, they weren't leather and they weren't plastic; they were pleather, and you would just push them as hard as you could to get every breath, every drum. How many are right there with me? That's that, right? You turn up that music in the car as loud as you can get it. And you're not a good music listener if you still have the original speaker system in your car. If you have blown your speaker system, then you know you're good. But I bought me some Bose sports headset, and I'll turn that thing up as loud as I can. And it's like, that's my kind of music. And thank you very much for feeding my soul before I get up to preach. Brother Jenkins can agree with this. There's many places you go to preach that they put no importance on music, and they throw it together at the last minute and expect God to bless. And I promise you, God's a God of preparation, and God's a God of order. And thank you for using your talents for the Lord. Brother Ken, congratulations on the new birth. And may I say welcome to the family. And although you've hung around us for a while, welcome to being a part of us. Amen. And I can't think of anything greater. By the way, always congratulate somebody who comes to grips with the fact that they have not trusted Christ as their Savior. So you're talking about mics being on, just different things. And I was supposed to bring my Janet Jackson mic tonight. Dan had talked me into bringing, because I preach with one. Now, y'all can make fun of them all you want to, but I preach. I moonwalk across the platform but I did about 7 years ago. I started preaching with one at teen convention, and it was like, man, my hands are free, and this is good stuff. So I just continued to preach with it. Dan was like, "Hey, Brother Bob, you got to bring it because I want Pastor Bell to hear it in person." And so I was all set to bring it, and I yanked the stinking cord out of the thing, and those cords are very expensive, and I yanked it out. So I called Janet. She's going to send me another one. And so it should be in. But I think Brother Bell needs to wear one. I can think all I want to. So you wait. At your funeral, whoever preaches you two guys' funeral, I'm going to give him a Janet Jackson mic. That's what Tony Hudson did with one.
Did he know the story?
Yeah, he wrapped it around, right? Yeah, uncouth people. So, Jeremiah chapter 2, if you don't mind. I was involved in something that I have never seen in my life in all the years of preaching now, and just the dozens of conferences. We were at a college and career conference. I had never preached one, but a pastor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area said, "We're going to rent a hotel conference room, and we're going to invite all the 18 to 35-year-olds, and we're going to hold a conference just for them." Usually, they're throw-ins at a youth conference, at an old person's conference. I have never enjoyed myself more than to show up with about 70, 80, 18 to 35, single, never been married, no children. And man, we took over that hotel, and that hotel will not be the same. But we were in the conference room, and we were all around, and the gentleman before me that was preaching, he had been preaching for years, 40, 45 years in the ministry, and he stood up just like I did just now. Take your Bibles, let's turn to. So we all turned there, and we're ready for the preaching. He read his text, gave his introduction, and then he said, let's pray. And so he prayed, and when he got done praying, we all thought it was part of his introduction to a sermon, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, this has never happened to me before all the years I've been preaching, but right now, I really have to use the facilities. And I'm thinking to myself right now, would I rather embarrass myself by not using the facilities, or would I rather take time out to kind of go use the facilities? And I think God's laid on my heart that I might want to right now go use the facilities. Seriously. So he said, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind, I feel the leading of God to walk out this back door. And then he stops about this place. He said, now you would think I would be embarrassed at this point in my life, but I am 45 years into the ministry, and this has never happened to me. It's probably never happened to you, but I think that I'll just continue following the leading of God. And so he walked out the back door. He is gone for 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden he appears back in the back door and he says, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for letting me follow the leading of God. I hope you follow the leading of God also at some point during the sermon. And so I stood up and said, hey, God's leading me. I got to go too. And but I had never seen that. And then he was saying, praise God, the PA guy turned my mic off. And I was thinking to myself, praise God. The PA guy turned your mic off. He was not embarrassed. And so I'm thinking to myself, if I've got to go that bad, I'm not going to walk out of this building. I'm running over the people in front of me. Then he told the story that his pastor, and he looked at his wife. He said, isn't this true, sweetheart? And by the way, whenever a preacher has to say, isn't this true, sweetheart, it really is the truth, because what wife is going to lie in public? Amen. And he said, when I was working for a man, a well-known pastor in the country, he said, I'm sitting on the platform, and the pastor was, when these first came out, he said he had one, he got one, a lapel mic, and he said, I wonder how far this thing will reach. So he went all the way back out the front door and went down to the nursery and got to the nursery and knocked on the nursery door. Well, when the lady opened the door, he forgot why he was in the hallway at the nursery. Mic's still on. And the lady opens the door and says, preacher, what are you doing? He said, well, I stopped by the nursery. He literally went brain dead. And then he started commenting on the babies in the nursery. Oh, yeah. Mic's on right there. And this pastor that I was preaching with said, I'm sitting on the platform. All of us are there. Probably about 800-900 people in the auditorium, and he's back at the nursery, PA's on, and he's saying, wow, we got a full nursery today. And the nursery worker said, yeah, she didn't know, said, yeah, we got a full nursery today, preacher. And he goes, oh my soul, whose kid is that? That's got to be the ugliest kid I have ever seen in my life. Well, the nursery worker didn't know that the mic was on, and she said, oh, pastor, I agree with you. Now, and I'm just going to use the last name. So now the Johnson family, half of them are good looking, but the other half, something happened to them. I agree, pastor, that's the ugliest kid I've ever seen in my life. And the pastor said, man, don't tell them, but I agree. They win the Ugly Baby of the Year award. And walked back into the auditorium, and when he stepped back in and heard his voice, it dawned on him that this is just, I asked the guy, I said, did the family stay? He said, nope. They got up and they left right then, went and got their ugly baby from the nursery and took their ugly family and went home. So I'll be right back. Where's the nursery? And no, I'm kidding. And but anyways, Jeremiah chapter 2 in verse number 33. And I'm going to read this. I would like for you to read it together with me out loud. Are you ready? Jeremiah chapter 2. In verse 33, I'll give you about 10 years to find it. Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 33. Are you ready? Let's read it. Ready, begin. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. That phrase right there, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? About 8 weeks ago, I was doing a wedding. I arrived a little bit early for the wedding ceremony. We'd already gone through rehearsal. We were not holding the wedding at the church house. We were holding the wedding at a different venue, and totally the bride and groom's prerogative. And I've done many weddings on different places, beaches and different events. We happened to choose a place there in our town, just north of our town, that a very beautiful place, very conducive for weddings. And I was there a little bit early, and as most pastors do, trying to make sure that they understand the order of service, I kind of disappeared into a side room. Door was open, and I was kind of sitting in the chair, and the room was kind of dark, and I'm just sitting there praying a little bit. The light from the outside, it was early afternoon. Light from the outside gave me a little bit of light on my wedding outline there, and I was just kind of thinking about the dear couple. Standing outside of the room was a group of church members. They didn't know pastor was sitting in the room, and so I'm sitting there, and I can hear them talking. So I decided I'm going to close my Bible. I'm going to enjoy them and what they're talking about. About six of them there, and then they started down the path of talking about people that they had seen on social media that all of us knew. Then they started talking about their escapades. They started talking about people who had changed and changed their lifestyle, changed what they do, the pictures that were on there. They would describe some of the pictures. They would describe some of the activities they were in. Then every once in a while they would mention, remember when they used to be such a great church member? Remember when they used to teach Sunday school? Remember we used to sing in the singing group with them? And then they would express disbelief at change. You know, social media may be a good thing for some, but can I tell you, for pastors, it's a hard thing. Because you don't ever want to believe that people that once served the Lord Jesus Christ would ever live that way, would ever dress that way. And in that room, I got on my knees and I said, God, I'm not quite sure my heart anymore can cope with people who change. Not people who get older, not people who mature, not people who go on to have children, but people who once, could I say it this way, live like we live now, enjoyed what we are enjoying right now, and now they just live a riotous life. And so I had to go to my office after the wedding. I said, God, I got to have answers. Because my heart right now cannot take this anymore. When you live, and this is your world, and this is your cocoon, and this is your workshop as a church, as a pastor, and you probably see it more than the pastor does, because the pastor cannot afford to get into that world. And I do believe some pastors make a grave mistake of getting into the social media world, because I don't think a pastor's heart was ever meant to see the ill of his people. I think he's always meant to stay on top side. But when you're aware of it, so I went to God and I said, God, why do people have to change? Why do they have to change? I took my Bible, and I have three different Bible reading schedules and different studying schedules that I have. And I came across Jeremiah chapter 2 in verse number 31 through verse number 34. I'm going to preach tonight on this subject, why people change. What I'm going to preach on tonight is not an exhaustive list of why people change. But I do believe if you were to sit down and list why people change. And if you're sitting here and you for any length of time have been in church, or you have known people, you have experienced a grieved heart and a heavy soul over people you love that have changed. And sometimes you don't even know the reason why. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll blame a lot of things that should not be blamed. And so I'm going to give you one thought tonight on why people change. Is something I have put into my life that I now can put in Bob Gray's life, that when I hear of somebody changing, that this is how I cope with it. This is how I deal with it. And I pray tonight that this may help you. I do not think I will be a factor in people who have changed, but I do think tonight I can be a factor in those of us who have people we love that have changed. And maybe I can encourage your heart. And maybe I can give you the secret, one thing you can put in your life amongst a lot of things, that if you'll do this, I guarantee you, you'll never change. And let's get into it. Heavenly Father, I by no means am an expert on this passage. In fact, I have heard many sermons preached by seasoned veterans on that one phrase, why trimmest thou thy ways to seek love? But Lord, I know what you did in my heart, and I just want to convey how you loved on me through this passage. God, help me to be the kind of conduit that I need to be. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's going to go very quickly, so please pay attention. Every 10th sermon back at my place, I like to illustrate the verse. For whatever reason, this morning, that was one of those sermons I used an illustration. Tonight, I'm going to illustrate the verse. And again, I hope I'm not insulting your intelligence. I do not use the illustration because I think that you can't handle words. I use it to have something stay in your mind. Very interesting set of verses. Like most of the writings of the major and minor prophets, Jeremiah is addressing, and please get the first part because you won't understand the last part without the first part. Jeremiah is addressing the backslidden and even idolatrous state of God's people. Jeremiah gives us insight into the love, and this is very important, God has toward His people, and then the return love that the people did not have toward the Lord. Look at verse number 31, if you don't mind. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Look at this phrase. This is incredible. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel? You know what he's saying right here? He said, Israel, can I ask you a question? Has my love been dry towards you? Has my love been desolate towards you? Then look what he says there, a land of darkness. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, children of Israel, listen to me. I've not been dry in my love, nor have I been secret in my love. I have been very ooey in my love, if I could put it that way. I have been very affectionate in my love. I have done my part to be the kind of God that when I love on you, you walk away knowing you've been loved on by God. And I am not secret about my love. I don't hide my love. I want everybody to know that nation I love. And I'm going to pause right here and just say this. You pray for our president and the leadership. They better get this thing right about the nation of Israel. And we better stop opposing the nation of Israel. And we better start loving on the nation of Israel like God. We better not be dry in our love toward God's people. And we better not be secret in our love toward God's people. So God said, I have not been dry in my love. Have I been a wilderness? I've not been secret in my love. Have I been a land of darkness? But the people's attitude was that they did not need God's love. In fact, God likened, and we're going to stick right to the text, God likened that this non-need of God's love was unnatural and unhealthy. And He gave us a picture of how unnatural it is for God's people not to need God's love. Look at verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Look at this. Or a bride her attire? I have done a lot of weddings, but I have never showed up to the wedding to where the bride said, oh, I have forgotten something. Oh, good night. You know I've forgotten something. I mean, before the wedding, I always go to where the bride's at and make sure that she's very appropriate and the bridesmaids. And I'll kind of have that conversation with the bride and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Are you excited? Are you okay? Tell me you're not going to throw up. And I'll make some kind of trying to calm her nerves. But I've never showed up 5-10 minutes before she's supposed to walk down the aisle and she's still in street clothes and she's sitting there and going, Pastor, I have forgot something for today and I'm just not sure what that is. And I've never had a bride look at me and go, Pastor, I forgot to get a wedding dress. I've seen them forget their groom. I've seen them misplace the marriage license. I've seen them forget to tell something to the caterer, but you have never seen a bride come through the back door in a jean skirt and a Michigan t-shirt. You have never seen a bride come through the back door with a veil. I'm going to preach the word whether you like the word or not. Good night, people. Have I been dark in my... Okay, and... And I've never seen them walk through the back door and come down the aisle and the wedding music and the bride go, I'm sorry, I forgot even to get a dress. God says, your not wanting me to love you is as unnatural as a bride forgetting her attire and her dress. God comes down, and here's what God's trying to say. God's trying to say, how I feel about you has not changed. How I feel about you has not diminished. And how I feel about you has never been a secret. You have been the apple of my eye. You have been the love of my life. You are the reason that I love. However, that was not how the people of God felt about their God. The people became so unnatural and cold toward God that they had done this days without number. They wouldn't let God love on them one day, and then they wouldn't let God love on them the next day. If I could illustrate this way, and I'm going to, Jordan, I hate to do this. Can I use you if you don't mind? Come right, leave your Bible there. Literally, what it means is this. Stand right up there, and when I try to hug you, kind of push me away. God was like, I want to hug you, but you would not let me hug you. I wanted to love on you, but you would not let me love on you. I've approached you every way I know, but you would not let me love on you. And you just didn't do this one time. You did this days without number. You did this weeks, you would not let me love on you. Months, you would not let me love on you. I've never been secret about my love. I've never been dry in my love. I have a heart that is sweating. I have so much love. And I have a love that I don't want to hide it in the back room. I want to stretch out my arms, and I just want to love on you. And listen to me very closely. God was saying, I just want to love on you, but you wouldn't let me love on you. And that's so unnatural because a bride would never misplace her wedding dress and a maid would never misplace the ornaments. But you've not let me love on you. Let me stop and tell you this. Listen to me. Everybody needs to be loved on. Did you hear that? Everybody needs to be loved on. And nobody can go days without letting God love on them. Nobody can afford to go weeks without God loving on them. You say, why? Where does it start with people changing? You know where it starts? It starts when they will not let God love on them. Because, now let me, because it is only natural for your Creator to wrap His arms around you and to love on you. You hug that every day. It is only natural. Wow. You pick that up every day. Look at me. As a father, it's only natural to hug on a son. Let me tell you something. There's something about that touch everybody needs. Look at me. For you to say, I could go a day without letting God love on me, you're a fool, because everybody needs God to come down and love on them. Without a hug from your God every day, without a hug from your God during terrible moments, without a hug from your God when you know it's cancer, without a hug from your God when you're going through bad days, everybody needs to be loved on God. But watch this, and here's the sermon. When you don't want Him to love on you, then it creates a void in you that now brings us to our text verse. You can have a seat. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? This context is referring to a lady in a skirt. If God is not loving on you, then He says, why do you trim your ways to seek love? And literally what it means is this, that in order to be loved by somebody, they had to trim their ways until they were noticed. And so they had to change because they wouldn't let God love on them. Everybody needs love. And so they were like, well, maybe if I change just a little bit more of this part of my life, will somebody love me? And literally the connotation is that how short do I have to get my skirt before I'm noticed by somebody who will just love on me? And he said, can I ask you a question? Why trimmest thou thy ways to seek love? Everybody needs to be loved. God said, I've not been dry in my love. I've not even been secret in my love. But yet you've rejected me days without end. And because you need love, and that love gives you your identity, and that love gives you that confidence and that affirmation that you have to have. The reason our society is out of control is because our homes have broken down and we do not have father figures and fathers who express that love to their children. And because they're not getting it from their father, then they trim their ways to get it from somebody out there. Why trimmest thou thy ways to seek love? Why people change? Had nothing to do with the church. It had nothing to do with my treatment. They did not allow God to love on them. I'm going to give you a couple of things. One, keep loving those who have trimmed their love, who have trimmed their ways. Keep loving those who have trimmed their ways. Let me tell you something. There ought not to be one ill will in your heart toward anybody you see in the social networking or see or you know or you hear of. If anger is the first emotion you have, then my friend, you need to go to God, because that is not God's emotion. God may have used His wrath, but He only used it with the end of restoration. Second thing I want to tell you is this. Let God love on you so you can love on them. You see, if you withdraw and you say, well, look how everybody else is trimming their ways, I don't want to trim my ways like them, but I'm going to show up to church mad, then you have no love to give them. When you don't let God love on you, then you are not full of His love. Amen. To love on them. Amen. And the whole point of Faith Harbor, the whole point of this conference, I believe, is to bring you into the harbor and to get you back to where you need to be so that you can go back out and be what they need you to be. Don't you ever start getting this cynicism that should not be ever in the heart or life of a child. Don't you stand there and condemn, and don't you stand there and talk. Somebody ought to fall on their knees. Somebody ought to say, God, I need you to love on me right now. Because the third point is this. They're at the mercy of temporary love. Watch this.
They're trimming to get somebody to love them, only to find out it's a temporary thrill of looking at a pair of legs spiritually, but it doesn't fill their need. Are you okay with the shame that comes with someone trimming their ways? Can you handle it? Our Savior handles it. Our Savior every day has children that wouldn't let Him love on them. And so they're seeking that love. Last thing. Realize the cost of them trimming their ways. I want you to notice the next verse, and I'm done. Notice the next verse. Isn't this sad? Oh, this is so sad. Let your eyes focus on 34 as I read 33. Why trimmest thou thy ways to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy way. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocent. Whenever you see the word innocent in the Bible, whenever you see blood associated with the innocent, 90% of the time, out of all the times this phrase is used in the Old Testament, there's only a select few that's used any other way. Most of the time, it's associated with the god of Molech. You know what they said? You know those skirts you were trimming to seek love? In the fabric of those skirts are the blood of the poor innocent ones. Molech was a god that sat like this. They would heat this god up from the feet going up, and then they would take their babies, their children, and they would drop it from the head and let it hit the heated up arms of this god. Once the skin would hit the heated brass, whatever type of metal, of course the cries would start. Around this god were people who would beat drums. And they would beat them loud enough to cover up the screams. They would play instruments and beat drums. Mom and dad were down in the village. When they would drop the children, they would beat these drums so hard so that the mom and dad could not hear the cries of their babies. You know what he was saying? You know who pays for you trimming your way to find acceptance and love? The children. Don't you get too upset with people who have changed. You break into prayer and tears because their children will die and go to hell. Their grandchildren. I'm a very blessed man. I am a very blessed man. I have three children. I have a son-in-law. I got two grandbabies. My son-in-law is our bus director, and my 2.5-year-old grandson goes with his dad every Sunday to make sure the buses are ready. And I get to see him every Sunday. And he'll come up in his little fedora and his little bow tie, and he'll put his face against my glass door of my office, and he'll say, "Grandpa, Grandpa." My name's Grand Bob. TC. You say, "What's that?" Trade. TM. Trademarked. "Grand Bob. Bob." And I'll open that door, and he'll come running into my arms. And I say, "Did you help Daddy today?"
Uh-huh.
But people who trim, their children will only know wicked kind of love. And they'll die and go to hell. I say we got some praying to do. You know people who have changed. Don't you think for one second they're having fun? Don't you think for one second that their life is fulfilled? Nobody can refuse love by God and stay void of love for very long. That's why when we see people who change, it, oh, that happened all of a sudden. No. No, it happened the day they didn't let God love on them. Listen to me. When you come to church, or you listen to singing, or you read your Bible, and you don't let God love on you, you will do that one day, and then 2 days, and then 3 days. And you will do it days without end. And because you need to be accepted, you'll trim. You'll change. Be your music. It'll be your friends. It'll be your laughter. You'll change. And then life will give you children. And life will give you grandchildren. And they'll die and go to hell. Because you just had to be loved on by somebody. We live in a very changing world spiritually. Apostasy is alive and well. People who deny our Savior is alive and well. People who used to be very sensitive to the things of God no longer are. And we should not sit here in judgment. We should not sit here and gossip. We should not sit here in tale-bearing. We should drop to our knees in prayer. And if we ever rejoice because something bad happens to them, that's not even Christ-like. I walked out of that room and the ladies were standing there and they had no idea their pastor was there. I said, "Pastor, we didn't know you were there. We are so sorry." I said, "Ladies, the 10 minutes you have exposed and expounded on everything they've done, you could have spent on your knees in prayer for their children and for an almighty God to get a hold of them." Listen to me. Saved children of God can be brought back to the fold. And if we don't believe that, we need to get out of this business. And if we only believe God's a one-and-done God, then we're in trouble. Too many parables. Too many stories, too many things. And I'm going to tell you right now, even if they don't return to the fold on this side of the rapture and death, they're coming home. And you want to be able to say with all honesty, "I prayed for you." You want to be able to meet them in heaven and say, "Welcome home." Anytime somebody is loved on by God, it gives them security. One last thing and I'm done. Do you know how beautiful music is? Music's a beautiful thing. Preaching's a beautiful thing. It's spiritual poetry in motion. It is the beauty of life against the sunset and the sunrise. It's the smell of spring. It's the awesomeness of fall. It's that spirit of December. It's that newness of January. It's something in the air. You can't market it. And you listen to me. That's what the love of God is. And how many times have you and I been sitting in a service and we just went, "Nobody has any idea what I'm going through, but I sure am glad God loved on me today." Make up your mind that every time you come to the house of God, you
are going to put down the boxing gloves. Let God love on you. When He does, you can love on people that have trimmed their ways to seek love. I don't ever want to trim my ways. Consistency in my world, but you listen to me. It could happen to me. If I ever enter into life and go, God, I don't need you. I don't want you to love on me. God, love on me. That way when I meet people, I want to love on them. Not agree with them. Love on them. Love does not mean you agree. Love means you keep the door open so that when that false love is done, they will come home. So can you guarantee me it'll be in the next 2 minutes or the next 2 weeks or the next 6 years? Mm-mm. No. But does it really matter if you're loving? Time flies when you're having fun. Time flies when you're loving people. Spend it in love. Spend it in prayer. And the days will go so quickly. Why people change? Because they stop letting God love on them. When I came to that realization, I was okay. And I no longer felt grief. I felt, God, your love can so overcome whatever trimming they have done. I could go on and on with different Bible examples. If you have somebody you know that has changed, you better get the ill will out of your heart toward their change. And you better start loving. So how much more trimming could they do to where they embarrass all of us? A lot more. But are you okay with the shame? I keep saying one more story. This is the last one, honestly. Honestly, this is the last one. I was having back surgery in 99, and they took off the outer of my disc and my L4, L5 right through there. I was on morphine, and I looked up, and standing at the end of the bed was a young lady, and she had a mini skirt on, leather mini skirt on. She was gothic and black, and it was one of the teenagers from the church that had disgraced her mom and dad and just really caused her mom and dad a lot of disgrace. And I'm sitting there, and I kind of woke up out of a stupor, and I was on kind of on morphine. I was coming out of it, and it was like 3 in the morning. I have no idea how she got in that hospital dressed the way she was dressed. No idea. She stand at the foot of the bed, and I looked up, and I was kind of looking at her, and she kind of made her way around the end of the bed. And she kind of patted me on the arm. She said, Brother Bob, are you awake? And I said, I am. She said, I heard you had surgery. And I just wanted to come up and ask you something. Because I figured in a drug state, those are her words, I figured in a drug state you would tell me the truth. Like, yes. She said, do you still love me? And I said, absolutely. And in my book, you're at the top of the list. Now let me go back to sleep. I saw her mom Sunday, and I said, how's she doing? She's still rough on her. And then she ended this way, but she knows you love her. I tell you, the only way that can happen for me is to be loved on by God. God bless you.